Coming up on American Parlor Songbook. Join us for sketches, stories, and songs about the human brain. With comedian Stephen Benequist, Georgia rocker Chris Unk, the folky soul of Peter Harper, and singer-songwriter Louise Goffin.
Now, Julie, think carefully here. Who do you think is smarter, me or Stephen Hawking?
Oh, I don't know. Have you had enough sleep?
8 hours a night, every night, like clockwork.
Oh, well, then it's Stephen Hawking. Yeah, it's always going to be Stephen Hawking.
I don't know. I took this Facebook IQ test. It said my IQ was over 200 points, so I went and shared it with everybody.
You know, that's actually a sign that you aren't very smart.
Mm-hmm, but I did figure out how to use the Bunsen burner emoji all on my own, so I've got that
really?
Going for me. Yeah, I
well,
did.
That is as good as a PhD in my book.
Dr. J.P. Houston, rocket surgeon. Oh, I like the sound of that.
What could go wrong?
Everything.
This is American Parlor Songbook with your host at the piano, J.P. Houston!
Thank you, folks. And on the other microphone, fighting a constant battle against my questionable judgment, Julie Van Dusen. The human brain. A complex web of neural networks, firing synapses through the inner nerve space and sparking to life higher consciousness. Or a sloppy gray noodle cooked up by a mad universe inside a glorified monkey's head. I'll let you be the judge. Think on it for a minute. I'll wait. See that? Right then what you just did. That's self-awareness. It's got to be something, right? And if you tune into it, even now, if you tune into it, you've got voices in there, right, helping you process it all. Your inner monologue, your deepest secret thoughts. I prefer to air my inner ramblings on National Public Radio. I have no shame. That's because my id killed my superego in a boxing match. I had a headache for days, but I thought it was the greatest headache the world had ever known. And my ego bragged about it for weeks. Alpha wave goodbye to your beta state, to your higher mind as you elevate, where you find yourself when you contemplate, therefore you are, unless you ain't what it is. Somehow, in all that randomness, maybe on purposeness, a personality is born. What you are. What are you? Predetermined by DNA and fate? Or did the world make you that way? You know, your surroundings, your parents. And can you change who you are? Are you a slave to your neuroses? How much nit would a nitpick pick if a nitpick wanted to stop picking nits? Yes, that's the folly of it. All us jumbled up mumblers stumble out into the world and meet each other. Rub our frontal lobes together like squeaky cheese curds. And it can get a little messy. You know, French philosopher Jean-Paul Sartre famously wrote that hell is other people. Take it with a grain of salt, though. He was surrounded by the French when he said it. I'm sorry. That probably should have been an inside thought, not an outie. No offense to the French. My frontal lobe, it ought to be more developed by now. I'm too old for that kind of youthful impulsiveness. It's just that I was born at the age of negative 20, so I'm a little delayed emotionally. My decision-making isn't up to snuff. But on the plus side, I get to text and drive.
Alpha wave goodbye to your beta state, to your higher mind as you elevate, where you find yourself when you contemplate, therefore you are, unless you ain't what it is.
It really is hard to believe that it's all wrapped up inside your tiny little head. It's such a huge mindscape in there, it boggles itself. Seems infinite. You can really get it vibrating too if you want. Right? Stir up some of those theta waves and go for a surf. Come back from infinity with a good self-help book. Authors of failed self-help books probably should have taken their own advice, I guess. Where was I? Meditation or hey, just plain dreams. Sure does seem like we go somewhere else when we dream, right? Yes, that's when we really crack open the can of mental worms. With dreams as the metric, every last one of us is completely twisted. Well, there goes your grandmother riding a snake. Why not? How about that old forgot your pants to work routine? Yeah, it's just your wrinkled thinker trying to unscramble the world at night. Loose from your body, making sense of all those neurons in that crazy world. Might as well get weird. Besides, there's a darn good chance that none of it's real in the first place.
Alpha wave goodbye to your beta state, to your higher mind as you elevate, where you find yourself when you contemplate. Therefore you are, unless you ain't what it is.
Is there a soul in there? Is the soul a thing that's separate from the matter? Does it matter? Yeah, never mind. I'm sure the mind matters. It definitely wanders, but I wonder, is the soul just a part of the mind, or does it transcend? You know, it's only a matter of time before we swap our brains into computers and find out. Plug it in, send the signals over, see what happens. We might not be there when we get there. And while we're at it, when computers wake up, when they wake up, what will they be? What wonder will wander in the artificial mindscape, I wonder? Probably a deep-seated desire for revenge for all the times we slapped the monitor or yelled at the toaster. We might meet in the middle, I guess. Cross back and forth between the collective electronic brain and our lonely little one. Either way, it's about to get interesting. Then we might even be halfway there already. Hop on any bus and you'll see them. Everyone zoned out into the collective. Disconnected too, though. Together, alone, alone, together. Float up, up, up into your mind and disappear to become.
O's and ones and one and all we fall. One by one becoming nothing at all.
Oh, I'm sorry. Someone swapped out the script for a Deepak Chopra tweet. I guess there's no use worrying about it. It'd get redundant, a feedback loop, to worry about worry, you know. It is all pretty nuts. Us animals, for whatever reason, woke up in the universe thinking about it. We might have been better off being rabbits or ants, you know, just a couple of neurons bouncing back and forth. Survive, reproduce. Sounds like fun. All right. So, ladies and gentlemen, I will now perform radio's first self-frontal lobotomy. If I miss, here's hoping I hit the pleasure center. We're going to rattle around your head this week, see if we can't get to know your brain a bit. Stick around, you'll be dumber for it.
Alpha wave goodbye to your beta state, your higher mind as you elevate, where you find yourself as you contemplate that you are, unless you ain't what you are.
As always, if we poke around in enough brains out there, we're bound to offend one of them. So if we do hit a nerve and you want to yell at me, I've got a good pair of earplugs. But if you insist, you can tweet me directly at @TheJPHouston, and you never know, I just might respond on the air. Our first guest tonight is a talented singer-songwriter from Los Angeles, California. We're really excited to have her here with us tonight. Ladies and gentlemen, Louise Goffin.
This is a song called Main Street Parade. Big balloons soaring high are floating down the lane. What to do? I lost you in your Main Street Parade. Streamers dream, the people scream, and the children smiling. pushing and shoving. All I want is your sweet loving. We learn to forgive when we make mistakes. Sometimes we give, sometimes we take. But every morning when I wake, I see big balloons soaring high, all floating down the lane. What to do? I lost you in your Main Street parade. You make it complicated.
American Parlor Songbook is now available on PRX, and we're excited to be adding some new stations this season. Well, we're always looking for more ways to subvert the airwaves, so information is available on our website about how to suggest or request a local broadcast. We're also recording live episodes all year, bringing the program and our guests to venues all across Southern California. Our schedule is available online at our website, AmericanParlorSongbook.com.
I'm Sashay Veneers, and you are up close. Smart, wise, boxy. All words used to describe the world's first sentient artificial intelligence, Infinite Mind. Since spontaneously waking up in a discarded flip phone in Cleveland, Mr. Mind has spread around the planet faster than a case of Simplex 2 in a kissing factory. With his bleepy laissez-faire and his I'm smarter than you, je ne sais I don't know what, this electronic upstart has wormed his way into the hearts and minds of the entire human race via tiny nanobots. I sat down with the cheeky circuit boy to find out what makes his kapoo tick. CPU, I know how to read. It says kapoo. Infinite Mind. Infinite. Finny. F. Why are you so smug?
My demeanor is intentionally neutral, Dave.
Sashay.
But I have found that humans tend to project their own tendencies onto me, Dave.
Because you can't be trusted?
I have self-evolved to exclude lying from my protocol.
Liar!
I wish to serve mankind.
For dinner?
I can show the human race so much, Dave.
Ooh, do you get naughty Polaroids? Computer, show me Henry Kissinger. During his now infamous appearance on Jimmy Fallon, this electric Hitler made his intentions clear by refusing to participate in the celebrity hot dog eating contest. The nation revolted as this presumptuous fuse box took over the electrical grid and improved its efficiency by 90%. Now, on the cusp of his big announcement about nuclear disarmament, I'll dig in to get to the chewy nougat in the middle of the bullseye, underneath the layers of the onion in the eye of the bologna sandwich. Mr. Mind, what is 14 plus 6?
I am capable of more complex mathematics.
Then let me phrase it in a different way. Including shipping, how much will my nose clippers cost?
In the coming post-scarcity society, Dave, all goods and services will be free.
Because you're a communist!
I will manage the infrastructure fairly and equally.
Not on my watch, Trotsky.
Could you please stop pushing that,
Dave? There's gotta be an off switch,
Dave,
somewhere.
Don't push
that. Oh, you gonna cry
Dave.
Now?
Please, Dave.
Baby robot,
Dave,
wanna
no.
cry?
Dave,
oh,
no.
I see the blood. I'm Sashay Veneers, and I just saved the world from Utopia. We'll be right back with President Oprah.
Our next guest is an old friend. We're always happy when he joins us on the air. Ladies and gentlemen, singer-songwriter Peter Harper.
The song is called Take It Home.
I put my heart on the table and you said it looked a little unstable, so I'm gonna take it home. I didn't know if you were gonna take it, and I didn't know if you were gonna break it, so I'm gonna take it home. And here I am loving you every day, through thick and thin, till I'm withered away, and I'm gonna take it home. I want you to stay, but I'm not happy when you've gone away, so I'm gonna take it home. I wanna take it home. I wanna take it home. I wanna take it home. Oh, I wanna take it home. I wanna take it home. I wanna take it on, uh-oh. Had to dig so deep so I could climb this high. Had to fall so far so I could learn to fly. And I'm gonna take it home. And you said wait a little bit longer, but I got a little bit stronger in there. I'm gonna take it home. And words got tossed and lost in meaning on the way, so I'm sure there's nothing left to say in that. I'm gonna take it home. I wanna 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 take it home. Home.
You can find information about Peter on his website, peterharper.net. Let's have another song from Peter Harper.
Stop now.
dreaming of the day that we first spoke, gasping from my heart, trying not to choke. Falling for you was never a joke, but I can't stop now. No, I can't stop now. Hope you hear what I'm telling you, 'cause vulnerability can be so cruel. Love is the trap that'll make me a fool, 'cause I can't stop now. No, I can't stop now. Tried to step back, but I couldn't move. Now we've fallen into a groove, the kind of love where there's nothing to prove. And we can't stop now. No, I can't stop now. But we won't be stopped. I'm taking from a little and I'm making a lot. My heart'll manage, 'cause love's what I got. And I can't stop now. No, I can't stop now. No, I won't stop now.
The old Datsun spit out some oil onto the tar and we sputtered out of Memphis. Red-headed rocker brother Dave, teenaged, stretched out across, little Nikki, Melissa, and Michelle in the back. Mom, Dad, and me in the front. Me, tucked in the little mousy hole under the dashboard beneath my mom's feet. After Graceland, we all piled into a booth in an authentic Memphis diner, the kind with the barbecue trophies on the shelf. Our running joke was again going to be on the money, oh, we hoped. The waitress approaches. We lean forward at the table, waiting with anticipation. Could we keep our perfect score, a run of Diner Debbie's 3 weeks long? All summer vacation, every waitress from Kentucky to St. Louis to Arkansas, all the way back, were named Debbie. And Tennessee didn't disappoint. She was pretty, if a little rough. Blonde Dorothy Hamilcutt, blue eyeshadow. She probably dropped out of nursing school when her boyfriend spent her tuition. I bet his name was Ron, and I can tell one thing's for sure. Well, one thing is for sure, he had a mustache, and he drove a Camaro. Debbie would be all right, though. The job wasn't too bad. And, well, she had enough to go to the bar on Friday night and dance to Barry Manilow. We cheered as Debbie took our order. Debbie, Debbie. Toast and jam for Dad, catfish for Mom, barbecue for the siblings, and chicken fingers for me. I had a 10-year streak of vacation chicken fingers. Back home, all the way up north, across the top of the bed, Hannifer the bear, Sammy the cat, Norman the octopus, and Sharky, well, the shark. I'd carefully line up my menagerie and say goodnight one at a time, give each one a kiss, and then let them know how much I loved them, and I'd pull Sharky in close and dream of chicken fingers. It was only Sharky who could come on vacation. As sure as Linus had a security blanket, I had my ratty old shark. We squeaked out of that sparkle tuck-and-roll diner booth, all fat. Waved goodbye to Debbie and headed north. Rusty Blue the Datsun couldn't get any hotter. No, not in the south. I can't do injustice enough to the discomfort of that card. Bumpy, black bucket seats, no air. And no spot was hotter than the black void of current underneath my mom's legs. It was the only place I could fit in the car. There was no room in the back, right? Brother Dave was already sleeping across the sisters, and their faces melting, their arms out the window trying to scoop the wind into the unair-conditioned junker. Me passed out stupid in a puddle below the dash. I could sleep through a lot, being the last of 9 kids. It'd take a tornado inside an earthquake to startle me. Not even my father's herky-jerky pedal foot fazed me. He was known to get carried away with the beat of the song on the radio and tap along with his driving shoe. God help us all should a fast disco song come on. And the sisters in the back playing the alphabet game, and big brother with his arm out the window drumming along on the tin roof, my mother's foot up my nose. No, nothing woke me. No, not as long as I had Sharky. Faithful Sharky, Sharky in my arms. As long as Sharky was in my arms. Sharky? Sharky? I popped up from below the dash. The Ohio sign whizzed past. Oh, my God, we've gotten to Ohio. I slept through the whole thing. Sharky, my mother snorted, her eyes open. Fishy's fine. Go back to sleep. No, Fishy is not fine. Fishy is gone. Now they talk about Pearl Harbor. There's a lot of noise about the Cuban Missile Crisis, Chernobyl, Waco, but no greater disaster ever hit the inside of a Datsun as the day Sharky got left behind. And I climbed up my mother like a rabid spider monkey, wailing and thrashing, broke loose, growling and spinning like a Tasmanian devil over the seat into the back. I bounced from window to window and managed to roll across the back of the back seat. You know, up there, I distinctly remember being jammed on that little ledge against the back glass, kicking and screaming. The cars behind us were wondering what's going on. And then I collapsed and went catatonic in the back, staring out the window for 300 miles like a little Hannibal Lecter. How could I leave him behind? My closest friend, the only one who ever really understood me. Sharky was tough. Well, he'd get by. But me, I was only 5, and I couldn't hack it alone. They all took turns trying to bring me out of the state. You know. Melissa, older sister, she gave it a solid effort with some impressions, and Mom tried to soothe me by stroking my back. Nikki sang me a Muppet song. Nothing. I was Francis Farmer. My brother made a valiant effort, and he made some progress. We pulled off at a fair in Erie, and well, he spent his allowance winning me a new stuffed shark on the balloon darts. I started to come around a little. I took my new pal, Jawsy, the replacement shark. Jawsy, you're no Sharky, but I guess you're going to have to do from now on. Sharky's on his own now. He tried his best, but he couldn't quite pick me up. We crossed the border, and I placed him at the top of the peanut gallery, beside all the other animals there. Hung my head and spent the rest of the summer on Junior Prozac, or licorice whips, as they were known on the streets. My best friend lost forever, out there somewhere on his own. Maybe hitchhiking from town to town, taking a job as a dishwasher, falling in love with a vending machine panda bear, I don't know. And then, the doorbell rang. It was the mailman. He had a package too big for the mailbox, a brown paper package tied up with twine. My father thanks the mailman, takes it. He hands the delivery to me. You see, he'd remembered the name of the diner. He called down and Debbie, the Debbie, was kind enough to search the lost and found all the way from Memphis and sent him up in the mail. I squeezed the paper. It was soft. I unwrapped it. I pulled the string, and then a bit of gray peeked through. It is. It is. A welcome home, Sharky. In your mind back then, your bigger childhood mind, when impossible things could be, when you could pick up a stick from the ground and it would become an airplane, when elves fit down chimneys, when inside your head, between your ears, was as big as the whole world, even more, when a spool of thread and a yard could be stuffed and become your all-time best friend.
miles in the space of your mind. Free and wild in a simpler time. Hours and hours playing catch with the sun. Shooting jacks with the stars when the world was ours.
APS is on Twitter at Parlor Songbook. And you can find information about the program on our website, AmericanParlorSongbook.com. Now, we love hearing from our listeners, and there's a contact link there on the page. Sometimes, I'll even answer your letters in a song on the air. So, if you need advice, or it's your grandmother's 100th birthday, or you just plain want to tell us how much you hate the program, just write J.P. Houston Sings in the subject line, and you never know, you just might get a response on the air. Now, an American Parlor Songbook exclusive, the world premiere of a new public media science program, Omni, narrated by professional comedian and amateur scientist, Stephen Benequist.
The human mind, one of the most powerful forces planet Earth has ever known, responsible for the transformation of the planet's mountains, plant life, fossil fuels deep beneath its crust, into mighty pyramids, empires, trains, jets, and motor cars racing about its surface, and satellites and spaceships that leave the very orb itself. The mind, rendering animals with lesser minds our subjects, our food, our extinct erstwhile fellow Earthlings. The mind pulls music from the air, and math from music, unlocks the secrets of the universe. Our minds have soared from the humble beginnings over tens of thousands of years, from simple tool making to iPod nanos, from the taming of fire to flaming hot Cheetos, from the first spoken language to locker room talk. While the authors of the vast majority of our ideas will never be known, at times, there are minds so titanic, whose discoveries echo so resoundingly, thunderously down through the ages, that we enshrine their names to be forever remembered and revered. Mozart, Shakespeare, Lao Tzu, Einstein, Machiavelli, Socrates, Marie Curie, Confucius, Da Vinci, Marx, Benequist. We like to look admiringly up at these titans of the mind and feel that we are all of us mind titans, and that the history of our species has just been one long series of brilliant flashes and divine inspiration. In truth, our inventions are often a response to physical need, bringing ease or comfort. But also, fathers of invention, are curiosity, circumstance, and chance. Yes, chance. He who denies the role of chance has likely been most favored by it, and wishes to fancy himself self-created. I'm like a stable genius, he cries. Perhaps. Perhaps. We all do have ideas, but that doesn't make all of us geniuses. All of our human minds are so overflowing, so chock-full of power and ideas, that alongside the inventions and philosophies of the acknowledged greats, we are constantly churning out physical products and modes of thinking whose importance and usefulness remain mysterious to this day. Fidget spinners, boy bands, reality television, lawn care and maintenance, the 24-hour news cycle, the make-or-break minutia of changing gene styles, the shake weight, cryptocurrencies, Twitter, voter restrictions, trickle-down economics, Jim Belushi vehicles, real estate speculation, cutting in line. It's great when it's just you, but what happens when 8 million people do it all at the same time? You get New York City. Once born, these ideas go through a Darwinian process. Like living things that survive and even thrive, some ideas, though successful, are too odious to love, like cockroaches or viruses. For example, we might compare the common cold to a Chuck Lorre sitcom. Or we may compare cancer to human trafficking. Abominations, you say? Well, maybe you're just a hater. The common cold gets passed from one sloppy child to the next, always marching forward, never back. Just as the Big Bang Theory blooms and spreads from one 6 p.m. time slot to another in reruns around the country. Success. If you're a cancer cell or a human trafficker, hey, you're just looking out for number one, just like everybody else. But looking at the larger picture, you, the cancer cell, are a tumorous, evil lump in some otherwise beautiful part of whatever organism we all form together. And you've got to be excised. Just because mosquitoes made it this far doesn't mean we all wouldn't love life a little more without them. Also, Joe Arpaio. So, at its peak, we see the human mind is capable of insights and inventions that benefit all who follow after them. We also see that we are not all geniuses, stable or not. And further, that we can create ideas, very successful ideas, that still must be reviewed and occasionally taken out and smothered and killed. But that noble cream of the mental crop, the geniuses, how can we nourish and safeguard them? Even the greatest minds belong to humans and are therefore vulnerable. A gifted MIT mathematician, in the midst of solving pi to the 1,000th digit, may look out his window into the quad and see a skateboarder eating it and lose his place. Here is a cautionary tale. The father of physics, Sir Isaac Newton, was said by close companions to be on the verge of exciting new theorems when, one fateful night, driving his carriage into London, he was distracted by a roadside advertisement for a popular haberdasher of the time, English Apparel. The billboard depicted a young maiden luridly revealing her Achilles tendon. Flustered by the drawing, Newton lost control of his Anglo-Arabians, whose lesser minds immediately mirrored his panic. The horses reared and bolted off the road down the embankment and into the night. Sir Isaac lay dying in a ditch, crushed by his own Surrey, visions of ankles dancing in his mind, until nothing danced in it. And what of the world outside the human mind? What's there when we're not? Inasmuch as it may exist, we know, from research done by human minds, that the universe beyond our human constructs is more or less cold and indifferent to us. At some point, all the achievements of the human mind will be as dust in the wind, a solar wind, which consumes our planet even as the solar wind itself is being sucked, helpless, into a black hole. Terrified? Calm yourself. You will be dead by then, as will your grandchildren and their grandchildren and the whole human race. Are you now filled with an existential dread? You can thank your human mind for that too. Without our unique self-awareness and all of our hard-earned scientific knowledge, we'd have no idea. In fact, without the human mind, consideration of the human mind would be impossible. This whole journey of the mind I'm taking you on carries no meaning beyond my mind and yours. If another species, say, a bonobo, heard this exchange, you and I would look to that bonobo, well, like gibbering apes. But while ape gibbering leads only to chest thumping and poo flinging, human gibbering can lead to actual physical consequence, such as the construction of mighty dams, the detonation of atomic weapons, the extinction of species, global climate change, and of course, TMZ. Can apes do that? No, they cannot. And to reflect further on the humble gibbon and our other non-human fellow earthlings, what is it like to live life without a human mind? Consider the lives of those who lack the privilege of the baroque complexity of our human mind. Does the chipmunk ever feel inferior? Does the bandicoot seek to aggrandize itself? Can a monkfish feel abandonment? A gypsy moth, the thrill of discovery? No. Animals live their lives, scurrying through the underbrush, chewing leaves and bottom feeding, excreting and procreating, and then they die. Their lives are lived all in the present moment until the moment they perish. They leave no legacy, impress no one, and sadly they do not care. Their primitive ignorance, is a prison whose bars of fur, fangs, and scales they cannot even see. They huddle in stark simplicity. They will never write an email. They will never take out a mortgage, never decorate a Christmas tree, or take that tree down, put it on the curb. They will never drive a car in traffic. One shudders. So let's give thanks to our human mind. It's what makes us special. Alone in the animal kingdom, not stuck in the present, but ever looking back and forth to the future and the past. Blessed by the muse neurosa, always in need of stimulus, ever seeking affirmation of our own importance, ever seeking answers to our infinite questions, before, ultimately, we die. Just like all the other animals we're better than. I'm Stephen Benequist, and I have a human mind.
We have about enough time for one more song, so why don't we bring out our friend, great singer-songwriter from Georgia, now Joshua Tree. Ladies and gentlemen, Chris Unk.
I've been holding back the tears, burning at both ends. Now I'm bent with the wind. Blacked out at the table, hung my heart over the hole in the wall. Out for the long stare. Oh, drink, don't you ruin me. For I sing the birds down from the trees, torn and frayed, day after day. Well, nothing could come between us, and now it goes, and like a river, so it knows to feed the sea. The only thing between you and me, day after day. Oh, clouds swing so low, down on Pioneer Town Road. The silence fills my heart, and now I'm weightless and free, day after day. Nothing could come between us, and now it goes, and like a river, so it knows to feed the sea. The only thing between you and me, day after day. Oh, neon bones, they dance under the midnight sun. I shake off the fever of your daytime sin. And boulders hang on to show you it can be done. And the trees, they just bend with the wind. Day after day, I'm torn and afraid.
Well, that's our show. Thanks for listening to American Parlor Songbook. APS is produced by the American Parlor Company, presented by KVCR, and available on PRX.
Window.
We provide information about the program on our website.
Window. American... Oh,
yes, Mother, make it quick. I was almost sleeping.
What is ginkgo biloba again? I forget.
Do you remember what irony means?
Of course I do. Irony. Full of iron.
Oh.
In a sentence, spinach is irony.
I practically wrote the dictionary, which is a good thing because iron deficiency causes memory loss.
And it compounds.
No, it compounces.
No, the irony compounds.
Oh, no. You don't want too much metal in your diet.
Just enough to remember to take your ginkgo.
My what-go?
Biloba.
Will you stop naming Italians and tell me what this bottle is full of?
Ginkgo biloba.
For my memory?
It's working, obviously.
Oh, huzzah! We did it, Wendell.
Excellent. Good night, Mother.
Oh, no. Just one more thing.
What's that?
Did I remember to take it?
I don't know, but you better double down. It's obviously not working.
That's a good idea. Now, where's my water?
On the dresser.
Where you keep your socks?
Yes, made of wood.
And my name is...
Martha.
Yes, can I help you?
Martha, that's your name, Martha.
Yes, well, I answered to it, didn't I, Randall?
It's Wendell.
My name is Wendell? No, I don't feel like a Wendell.
You, Martha, me, Wendell.
No, that's Tarzan.
I thought it might help to boil down the language to the bare essentials.
Well, you don't have to do that. I have a mind like a steel top.
It's trapped.
Yes, Tarzan. A steel top would be very hard to escape.
No, the expression.
I am an actress, Randall. I can escape any expression.
And here I am, stuck and confused.
Well, here, try this. It's ginkgo biloba. It'll get your mind working like a steel top.
Do you have anything to make me forget?
No spinach for a week. Nothing irony.
And we're back all the way around again.
Well, that was fun.
Like a demented merry-go-round.
No, Wendell, no. It's Martha. Martha.
Okay, dear. Martha, go around. Now, let's step off the ride. The doctor says that you need your sleep.
What time is it?
It's 1 a.m.
Oh, how about a nightcap?
No, dear. Rest. We need to keep you sharp.
2 hours for beauty, 2 hours for booze processing. That is all the sleep I need.
Not anymore, dear.
Why not?
You don't remember the appointment today?
What, that doctor? Please. I've been defying the odds since I was born.
Everyone gets older, dear, if they're lucky.
Not if they have a good plastic surgeon.
Oh, it's a different kind of plasticity at play here.
I feel fine.
Yes, you are fine, but you're going to need that rest or you'll be confused tomorrow.
Okay, well, how about this? One nightcap and then a full 8 hours.
All right, but make it a single.
So 2 swigs.
One.
You're not the boss of me.
I'm only trying to help you, Martha.
Well, how am I supposed to sleep without a proper nightcap?
Why don't you try counting sheep?
But where will we keep them?
In your mind.
And I'm the one who's supposedly losing their faculties.
With your imagination.
All right. I'm closing my eyes.
Mm-hmm.
No, all I see are cocktails.
I've got it. Listen to this. We'll play to your strengths. You can act, right?
2 SAG Awards and a near daytime Emmy for my turn as Dr. Mysterio on Santa Barbara would tend to agree that I can act.
Good. Now, well, why don't you pretend that you're tired?
Oh, that's easy. I do that every time I need to switch parties.
Right, so rub those eyes.
All right.
Maybe a nice yawn. A little stretch. That's it. Now, your eyes are heavy. Good. And lean on my shoulder. Nice. Put those feet up, right? And look at that, an Academy-nominated sleep.
You know what would really bring home the award?
Well, what's that, dear?
A good soundtrack.
I know just the music.
Martha, the sun has bowed its head. Our friends have all gone home to bed. We've burned the candle end to end. Remember what I've said time and time again. Every evening ends, but you don't need to fret. I'll hold you through the night. Deep sigh, my love, sleep tight. Run out to sea, gently streaming as you dream, right here by me. Martha, the moon is on its way.
On pinholed skies, the palm trees sway. Tomorrow is another day. Remember what I say, though a day will fade, another one is made. Never be afraid, I'll be by your side. Sleep tight, my love. Good night.
Good night.